And we bow down with some prayer. Father everlasting, creator of the heavens and the earth, without whom nothing can be. We thank you, Father, for every opportunity we have to gather together in your presence. As we cannot do without you, Lord, we rely completely on you, and we look unto you as we worship together in your house. We ask, Lord, that you speak to us, teach us the way to go, and lead us on the right path, that we always glorify your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For our reflection today, we'll be looking at the topic, be fruitful in the vineyard of God. Be fruitful in the vineyard of God. And our Bible passage is Matthew chapter 21 from verse 36. Matthew 21 verse 33. It reads, hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenant took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scripture, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard these parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is a parable told by Jesus about the vineyard and tenants. Jesus uses parable to communicate the truth about the kingdom of God. And our text from this passage will be taken from verses 41 to 43, which says, they said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out a vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the fruits in their season. The emphasis here is giving the fruits in their season. Tenants in the vineyard were put there, one as tenants, and two to walk on the vine. And in the Bible, and in this parable, this word in many places is described as a vineyard of God, or the vineyard of God. We are here in this world as tenants in the vineyard of God. A tenant is not the owner. And a tenant lives at the mercy of the owner. It is the owner of a vineyard that puts a tenant. And we are here as tenants. And we are here as tenants for a purpose. We are not just here as tenants to be walking around. God is the owner of the vineyard, and he has sent us into this world for a purpose. We are not just here for staying sake. We are here for a reason. And that reason is to labor in God's vineyard. God created us for a reason, and that is to labor in his vineyard. A time for accountability will come from what we gathered from this parable. A time of accountability will come. There will be a time when we render account of our labor in God's vineyard. It will come one day. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time when we have the strength, we have the ability, we are still able to walk in God's vineyard. There will be a time when that ability will no longer be there, and that opportunity will no longer be there. But now that we have the time, what are we doing? What are we doing with the time we have? We are created and put in God's vineyard for a purpose. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. God did not just create Adam and leave it to be wandering anywhere. God created him for a purpose. After creating him, he now put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it, number one, and to keep it. So, and the Bible said that God came occasionally to see Adam and to see what he was doing. And then in St. John's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 16, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you.
So when we are chosen to be Christians, to be followers of Christ, it is for a purpose. We are not just choosing to be there in the house of God and to just take care of ourselves. God chose us for a purpose. And we did choose Him. That you are here doesn't mean it is your own making. It is the making of the Lord Himself. He wants you to be here for a purpose. I preach. God called me for a purpose. But it's not just preaching. To bear fruit, that your fruit will abide. When you preach, what comes out of it? What do people see in me? If I'm a Christian, I'm called to be a Christian, what do people see in me? Is it something that can sustain other Christians? Something that can keep others growing, that can make them stand firm to defend the name of Christ. So, we were choosing to bear fruit, that our fruit should abide. Then, he says, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. So we are called for a purpose. When you are fulfilling God's own purpose, He will fulfill yours. Therefore, the Bible says, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's our task. And every other thing we follow. God was about to bless Abraham. Abraham wasn't just praying, and God was blessing him. In Genesis chapter 17, from verse 1, God told Abraham, after all he was doing, when God was ready to bless him, He said, walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant with you. You need to walk before God and fulfill your purpose for being here. Do what God wants you to do in this life. Unfortunately, many people around care only about themselves, how to go to work, do their work in order to earn some money, use that money to pay their bills, eat, drink, sleep, wake up the next morning, go to work. If they harvest, they keep it for vacation. They go and spend it at the beaches and in different places. That is serving themselves, not serving God. We need to find out, why are we here? Why did God keep us in His vineyard? We are laborers in God's vineyard. We don't own the vineyard. We don't own the earth. Some asking me, it may seem as if you are treated as a second-class citizen. I told the person, I'm not even a citizen. I'm not even a citizen of here. I'm a citizen of heaven. So no matter how you treat me, I'm just a tenant. We are tenants here. Our stay here is temporal. Very, very temporal. While we are here, we need to fulfill God's purpose for keeping us in His vineyard. Because time of accountability is coming. And then, when you work for God, God can never set you to work for Him for nothing. You will always be rewarded for the work you are doing for God. God cannot send you out empty. Even when you seek to listen to God, He cannot send you out empty. When Jesus preached to a crowd, He didn't just send them out. He said, we need to give them something.
God is mindful of us. God is mindful of the time we spend with Him. God is mindful of every level we put in for Him. God is mindful of every work we do for Him. Once we do those works genuinely, God will never leave us empty-handed. So, there's always a reward for laboring in the vineyard of God. You will always be rewarded. How great is it that the owner of the universe, the owner of every existence, will acknowledge you and tell you, well done, you did what I wanted you to do. You did the work I assigned you to do. And then they will reward you for that. And he gives the proper reward, what is appropriate. So in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, the Bible says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." We are laboring now. There's a time of rest from the devil. And the Bible here says, your deeds will follow you. Whatever you are doing for God now will follow you. What you did not do for God will appear empty. What you are doing for God, the time you are spending, the extra time you are spending, the extra miles you are going, will follow you for eternity. Do it well now. Put your whole energy into God's work now. For the night is far spent, and the morning is coming. Time is coming when we will not be able to labor again. But whatever you do now for God, in His vineyard, where He has kept you as a tenant, will always follow you. You will not be forgotten. God will never forget you. And then in Luke 10, verse 2, the Bible says, "And Jesus said to them, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into His harvest." God needs people to work for Him now. The harvest is plentiful, but people working on the harvest are few. We need to be engaged in God's harvest. We need to be working for God. And we need to pray for God to send more people into His harvest. And then in John chapter 6, verse 27, the Bible says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on Him the Father has set His seal." Still walking, laboring in the vineyard of God. Not for immediate gain. Not for what you'll be given today. What are you paying for that music you play? What are you paying for running about to organize the people of God? What do they give you? These are temporary ones. Do not labor for them. If my payment should be of this life, then it's useless. Because after it did, it is gone and forgotten. But you labor for a gain that lasts unto eternity. Don't be paid now. I don't want to be paid now. I want to be paid in a place where it will last for eternity. That will be the outcome of our labor. So labor for the gain that endures unto eternal life, for you enjoy it forever and ever. And then
We hear about the laborers in the vineyard, where that is in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16, where a master came out and saw some people standing in the marketplace. Nobody hired them. He took them and put in his vineyard at 6 a.m. At 9 a.m., he came out and saw other people idle, and he asked them, "Why are you standing here?" They said, "Nobody hired us." The master took him into the vineyard. At noon, the same thing, he took them into the vineyard. At 3 p.m., he still saw some people standing idle. He sent them to his vineyard. At 5 p.m., he still saw some people standing idle. He took them to his vineyard. And then after 1 hour, the day's work ended. He didn't leave any of them empty-handed. He rewarded all of them. But the important thing here is that God doesn't want anyone to be idle. God, the master did not ignore them. God wants us to be doing something for him. And he invites us to labor in his vineyard. Find out what God wants you to do. Now is the time we have the chance to do that. Not only will you do his work and you'll be happy, he will also reward you for that. And that is a reward, a gift that we endure unto eternal life. And then in Matthew 5, 15 and 16, Jesus says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a good basket. Instead, they set it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Every gift God has given to you is not meant for you to keep it to yourself. Cover it in a basket for yourself. It is meant to shine, to be used for people, to be used in God's vineyard, to do the work that God wants you to do, and be satisfactory, so that it will give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And in Matthew 13, chapter 13, 1 to 13, Jesus gives the parable of the sower. Why the sower sows a seed, spreads his seed. Some fell on the pathway, some on thorns, some on the rocky ground, and some on the fertile ground. The only seed that bore fruit were those that fell on the good soil. Not those on the rock, not those on the pathway, not those on the thorn. Some are so careless about things of God. They don't care, they don't pay attention. So that as they waste their time here in life. Some are carried away by the pleasures of this life. What is important to them is to drink, eat and drink and move around and choke off and mount big bikes and run around. That's all they care for. Pleasures of this life. Some are entangled with corruption, corrupt kind of life, immoral life. All these words do not bear fruit. We need to live a fruit-bearing life. Life that bears fruit for God. We need to be in the proper place. We need to be the fertile soil where the fruit will come up for God. Something new in the vineyard of God. The purpose for which we are created needs to be fulfilled. And then Matthew 7, 19 and 20 says, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down
and thrown into the fire. So then, by their fruit, you will recognize them.
So it's not only that we are expected to bear fruit for God in His vineyard. We remember the parable, not a parable, but Jesus was going to Jerusalem with His disciples, and they saw a fig tree. And Jesus thought He could find fruit in it, but there was no fruit. Jesus said, "Let there be no fruit in you again." The next day, when they came, it was dry. And then Jesus also told the parable of the owner of a vineyard who planted fig tree and wanted for it to bear fruit, and he didn't. And he gave orders to his servants to uproot it. So it's not only that a person that doesn't bear fruit, when a person doesn't bear fruit, it doesn't end that the person is not rewarded, but the person is uprooted, is cut down. God has no time for people who are not fruitful, who are not helpful. If you look back at a parable of the wind and the tare, the owner said, "Leave both of them to grow. When the time comes, the wind will be removed, and the men will be harvested and put into the barn." So, if we don't labor for God, there are consequences for it. If we waste the time that God gave us in this life without bearing fruit for Him, there are consequences for it. For that. But if we work hard and bear fruit for God, there is reward for it. The choice is left for us to make. And in conclusion, Jesus says in Matthew 16:27, "For the Son of Man will come in His Father's glory with His angels, and will repay each one according to what he has done." God is watching us. This is the right time for us to do our best for God. Time is coming for accountability. And the Bible is emphatic about it. Jesus will repay people according to their work. Work hard now that you have the opportunity. There is no time that you spend for God that is wasted. God will reward you both in this life and in the life to come. But even if He doesn't reward in this life, He will definitely reward you in the life to come. Your labor in the vineyard of God is not in vain. God takes note of all your works and will reward you at due time. God will never forsake you. He knows you. He knows what you are doing. He knows what you are going through. He knows your desires. He knows your struggles. I will take care of you at the right time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithful God. You have never promised and failed. All your words are true and will always come true. Be in control of our lives. Give us the wisdom and the ability to pursue the work you want us to do in this life, so that at the end of this life, we will not only be commended for the work we did, but we will be richly rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.